I can try to explain it, but I would never do it justice. Let's put it this way. It's a simple rock and roll story with Hitler. We saw The Amazing Adventures of the Stardust Brothers, so you know what that means. Our home base theater for a very special movie. That's right, Stardust Brothers came out in 1985, the same year as Back to the Future, and maybe even more magical. Like I said, it's kind of impossible to describe this movie. The way I was thinking about it was saying, like, it's kind of like the monkeys in Japan, not monkeys like the animals, monkeys the band that was like the Beatles, now I'm already lost, but it's like the monkeys in Japan with like new wave and punk pop, and it's a story of success and music and anxiety with music and David Bowie robot. I don't know is what I'm telling you. I don't know, but really it's a story of two men forced to be one. Their rise and fall, and then no rise again. I think they just fall, and maybe even their death. I think they die. Again, I'm not quite sure. I would fill out this test with a pencil and erase a lot if I was forced to give a full opinion on it, but luckily for you, you will help us break it down tonight, but I will break it down with my two co-hosts. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
Jerks! How we doing, Los Angeles? This movie made me anxious. What if an entire movie was told narratively inside videos? Wow, this was wild stuff.
I
almost had a heart attack because it was 4 to 5 minute music video, 30 second dialogue scene. 4 to 5 minute music video, 1 to 2 minute dialogue scene. That's the structure of the whole movie.
It felt in many ways like, maybe I'm using this term wrong, like a decoupage table where it's a bunch of different images.
You're wondering if you're using decoupage wrong?
I don't know. Is that all right? Maybe I will.
Sure,
it's like,
sure.
It's like living in a decoupage
perhaps,
table.
Perhaps, or like a papier-mâché.
Papier-mâché, yes. I just felt like I was so bombarded with images that
and
I didn't know where
to go. All the songs are story songs. They're all contained inside of every song is the plot of this nightmare. So you couldn't just check out and be like, all right, I guess I'm watching the song. You had to be like, no, there's plot elements happening. I need to know what's on.
A lot. And very rarely are there any happy songs. I mean, all the songs are rife with, like, I am a star and it sucks.
This is, I'm not lying, one of the greatest movies we've ever watched.
I 100% agree. But there is one person out there that knows everything about music.
Out there?
And, no, I said out there.
Oh, okay. I was like, don't bring one of these monsters on stage.
Please welcome my other co-host, Miss June Diane Raphael.
No.
Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Paul?
I'm fine. Now, June, I want to share with the audience, you decided that when we should watch this movie, you said, you know what, let's not watch it on our Friday night. Let's enjoy our Friday night. We should get up early on Saturday and watch the Star Wars.
I set an alarm to watch this movie.
So at 7 a.m.
Set an alarm on my phone.
An alarm went off. TV went on. And from 7 to 9:30 a.m.
It was so crazy.
You're like, I might still be asleep having a nightmare.
Yes. So many things happened this morning. So I set an alarm. I set it for earlier than 7 a.m. I set it for 6 a.m.
Which was really cruel to me.
And then I had to wake Paul up, like, time to watch Legends of Stardust. It felt so crazy. And then I at least got a cup of coffee. I ordered Paul a coffee. He refuses to drink the coffee I make at home. And
wait,
so...
Wait, so knowing this, you still make your own coffee?
Absolutely.
Well, even though coffee's coming to the house.
You often say I make great coffee.
He does make a great pot of coffee, but he doesn't drink it himself.
Won't drink it.
Anyway.
Oh, you won't drink, you even if you
I
make the coffee.
I won't drink hot coffee. I'm not a hot coffee
yeah,
drinker.
Yeah, I make a great pot of coffee as well. He doesn't drink coffee.
Killing it on the coffee front.
Yeah, I'm sure we all make
mugs. Yeah, you have a whole
thing. I don't do French press, and I've got some feelings about French press. That's fine.
You know what? Let's get into it right now. This is the place. This is the time. I've often said,
listen,
we're going to have this out, June. All of it.
By the way, June did get mad at me because I did start drinking tea in the morning. You're like,
gross.
Get this out of here.
Wow.
I don't even want to see it.
That's a huge problem.
So I said, the coffee's arrived, and I said, let's put it on. And then.
Well, you first had
I saw him like futzing around with the settings. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, the whole movie's subtitled. And I said, no. And no.
I hear you.
Not on a Saturday morning. Not
that
in the year of 2022.
You were trying to do it on Saturday morning is, by the way, inexplicable. I watched it today like a human being in the afternoon. I started it 30 seconds in. I was like, I 100% need to be stoned for this. I was like, there's no way I can watch this without being stoned because I'm already having a pre-panic attack.
It was very upsetting to realize that. And I will say, a lot of these movies that we watch, like, I watch and I'm there, but I'm not there. You know, I'm in another place.
Like an out-of-body experience?
Yeah. But with this, like you said, Jason, I had to read. I had to read, and it required a level of attention that was so upsetting.
You get mad at me because Jason and I both share this. We will watch regular films with subtitles on.
So strange.
I've now acclimated so much to that when I'm watching TV without subtitles, it stresses me out. Because I'm like, I'm missing stuff.
It started
I'm missing important details.
It started for me at Deadwood, and Deadwood was a whole different show. Because
it started for me with Game of Thrones.
Okay, there you go.
Because I was like, I need to know these motherfuckers' names.
Yeah.
I can't clock them. And then it was like, oh, this is helping. Okay. That's Tywin. Okay, got it.
I mean, and this movie really jumps out and starts in a way where you're like, it feels like a German film. It does feel like a German film the way it kind of opens.
Is it because Hitler's in the movie?
Hitler is in the movie.
Is that because Hitler is in the movie? It was like a Marvel surprise cameo. Dun, dun, dun! Guess who's in the movie? Hitler. It's Hitler.
At that point in the film, if you ask me, like, who is behind that chair, it would be about, like, 50, 80 guesses before I would get to Hitler.
Okay, so riddle me this, Jason. So I said to Paul when Hitler arrived, I said, well, they were in a time machine. And he said, what are you talking about?
Okay, now...
But I said,
now, okay, but I understand where you're coming
from. Machine, weren't they?
No,
I don't think
the
they were in a time machine. They were in a teleporter, though.
Yes.
Now, that being said, why are the people in the bracketed scenes, in the beginning and the end, why are the people from a black and white, sepia-toned 40s style? It does appear as though they are in, like, 40s Berlin or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The movie opens up like it's this very somber piece, an audience, but there's also like a man with a fish head. There is.
What was that about? I wrote that down. I was like, what did I just see? There's a character with a full-on fish head? That's where I was like, this movie wins.
So wait a second. You're telling me I'm to believe they weren't in a time machine back to see Hitler?
I don't think so.
I don't want to call this out, but I'm going. I actually do. I want to call it out because you are so convinced of the time machine that there is a moment after they teleported where like fans went to like run up to them and a couple of them were a little bit older and June's like
all of them were well, they June's were like, all
yeah that's when the David Bowie guy inexplicably is that because of time?
That's what I said. They got older because they were in a time
fans
machine.
Got older?
Yes.
Oh wow, so, June.
That's what I said.
Wait a minute.
That's what I said.
Let's give this some
thought. Why were all of those people old?
I did write down.
Old people
why
don't
are
run after pop
elderly
stars.
Yes. I agree. But now, so maybe.
No,
whoa.
But then, no,
yes.
No, no.
Is this a Howard the Duck?
No, they didn't know. They teleported because that reality of the David Bowie.
Old people, elderly people do not behave like that.
I think those elderly
you
people.
You don't think that old people, if they saw the Beatles right now, they would run. Like, if you were like, I was at Chase Stadium.
Okay, boomer. Did I do it right?
They were behaving like the teenage girls who were obsessed with the pop stars.
Do you think June's right? Who thinks no? Okay, guys, we got to agree on a system.
Well, let me.
All the yeses said yes, and then when I went to no's, some clapped, some raised their hands, some said. The no's are fucking dumb.
Well, here, here's my.
The no's are fucking idiots. Get them out of here.
Let's go like this. We'll applaud for both because I think there's a couple things at play. All right. First of all, is it a time machine? Applaud yes. Okay. Is it not a time machine?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then why do the elderly... Okay, yeah,
I got two more questions. Is Hitler an effect of time travel? Or is Hitler just a character in the world that they already inhabit? Okay. And then final question
is Hitler in the present day?
See, that's the difference. It's like
he's old.
Yes, but of course, because at this point, 1985, Hitler would be old.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
So did the fans age?
Yes.
Did the fans not age and just old people like young men?
No. Okay. No.
All right. The very confused
I'm not
audience.
Sold. This is partially the fault of the movie itself.
Never.
The movie is so finely plotted that
Everything
Christopher Nolan
is precisely explained.
One of the things I like about this movie is it continues to unfold the layers, the meaning. Nothing is here just for show.
Fishhead guy was some next level. When he calls the woman a turtle... Leave the turtle alone, and it cuts to a beach scene with waves behind them. I was like, this is that when that happens, there's this movie has memes in it. I think, does this movie come pre-memed? What's happening? I had a panic attack here. I was like, how is this possible? What is going on?
Look, by the time they got to the turtle, I was go with the flow because I was like, they're eating the credits. The beginning of the movie, the credits are on food. The pop song is like, the pop song says something that really took me back right from the beginning. It says, we're stardust, which is the scum of the stars.
Stardust, and then that stardust, felt like scum of stars.
And that to me, like,
Okay, so I do think some things were lost in translation.
Oh, you think?
I don't think that was lost in translation.
You don't think Stardust, the scum of stars?
But that is actually what's hard about this movie because it's like, okay, some things must have been lost in translation. But then as you watch the movie, you're like, maybe it's word perfect.
Or maybe thank God. Thank God.
Yeah,
if it was lost in translation, it's better. Thank God.
I mean, I don't know.
I would listen to this soundtrack every day for the rest of my life.
The soundtrack.
Inclusive of not just their songs, but I want to hear London, more songs from London Boots.
Love.
I want to hear more songs from Supercars. I want all these
Why
hits.
Do these bands, we have, like, very rarely does a band, like, call out their name, right? It's not like, it is like, we're the Rolling Stones. We like to roll, cause we're stones. Like, but they're like, London Boots performs a song called London Boots.
Yeah.
And then when they do songs.
Which is basically, it sounds like rock and roll high school.
I have it all. I have all of it here, but I do Thank like God. That everyone.
We'll just, I would just listen to the songs for the rest of the show. I'm
off. By the way, we're in some good song movies right now. I mean, from last week's Tough Turf. But they also have this thing where it's
Holy
like,
shit.
It's like, microwaves are people, but maybe they aren't. I'm sad.
Yeah,
that's what. A butterfly eats me. I'm like, what? I don't
even
know.
When you two were saying that the story, the narrative was in the songs before, I was like, not for me.
I mean,
I couldn't find it there.
I mean, here, this foreshadows the life of a star. The red tights attract people's eyes. And they're not in red tights. Fast moving business. That's rock and roll music. Got it. That's Shingo. We are twins. We are lucky.
Can you pause for a second?
Yes.
One of the great reveals of the movie is that they're brothers.
Yeah.
Why tell us now?
Well,
it robs the mirror guy of his whole death song,
but
which is amazing.
I thought that they were. Like, they were two performers that needed to be merged as one to have talent, and their guise was, we are brothers. Like, so I thought that the twist was, you actually are brothers. Aha! Like that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I also had a hard time because one of the characters looked like Ezra Miller.
They are brothers.
They know here,
yeah,
but here
the
they
end of the,
know.
Yeah, this
but
is the
we
end.
Don't know.
We don't
I see
know.
What you're saying now. Okay, got it. Yeah, that makes
then,
sense.
So here we go, they were the brothers.
Oh my God.
And we're sexy. We're the Stardust Brothers. We got that. Funny how the
upside
opportunity
down.
Came about. Yep, upside down. Before we knew it, we made a number one hit. This is a lot of plot.
Like, this is the
we
plot
are twins.
Of the movie.
We are strong.
That we're about to watch.
Have you ever heard of an overture, Jason? That is...
This is like the table of contents for the movie you're about to watch.
Listen.
What? Just when you thought Diana the Musical couldn't get better. All right, so here we go. He goes, don't you remember... It's true. We're the ones. Can't remember our voices? See, to me, they're performing at a state fair. Like, this is the opening. They're like, don't you remember us? We were the Beatles. We were the biggest thing.
What I can't understand, yes, I think you're right, because they're basically saying, don't you remember our story?
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't remember, we'll sing it to you in this song. But what's happening is they appear to be the audience... is from the past. What
Which
I can't
maybe
reconcile is they're current, they're contemporary.
Well, not only are they from the past, they're also from Pleasantville before
they're in black
got
and
color.
White.
Yeah.
They're in black and white. The rest of the movie is not in black and white.
No.
So, well, but I think when they get into their time travel cars and press that special button, they
Wait,
probably
Wait, do you
ended
think that you go
there.
Back to black and white time?
I'm going to say maybe. I'm willing to believe that June is right and
Thank
that
you.
This is a time machine car.
Thank you. What's that special button they press?
That's a teleport button, I believe.
Because
or
the car disappeared.
Time machine.
Yeah.
It might be.
All right, it might be.
Holy
right.
shit. The songs are relentless. It becomes exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean,
am I wrong in that there's a montage once, and this here's the interesting thing about the Stardust Brothers. They seem very miserable as unsuccessful
yes.
musicians, very miserable as successful musicians, very miserable making music. Like, there's nothing that they're in
never
this tale that they ever enjoy.
And it seems like to me that this is such don't get involved. It's like it's a warning. Don't make music. Don't
yes.
get involved in rock and roll.
Yes. They hate each other. They hate music.
And even like the woman in it who can't be signed
Turtle?
By the, what?
Turtle?
The turtle. Who can't be signed by the record label when she becomes famous, Even she's upset. Like, everyone's a
doesn't
pawn.
Work out for
no,
anyone.
No one, yeah.
Although I do love that this movie posits that if you're the president of someone's fan club, you have all access.
You have carte blanche.
Like, you have carte blanche.
Oh, I'm the president of the fan club. Well, welcome.
Come on in.
Well, she was there at the beginning. I mean, she was there at their creation.
She was, but then I think someone else says they're the president of someone else's fan club.
Well, they do. Bowie. They become the president of her fan club. When she becomes a hit, when she becomes the star, and they become her baggage carriers.
That's right.
And the punk security guards at the record label who wield baseball bats in the lobby.
Okay, wait. I have a question about this.
Really? What? Whatever could you have to
I
ask?
I have a question about the building, the actual infrastructure around the record label.
Yes. Atomic Records.
Productions. Yeah. So that, do they live there?
Who?
The band member, Stardust Brothers.
I think at one point they're put into some sort of a prison cell because they have one bed and the bedroom is decorated purely with Stardust Brothers merch. So they're almost like being brainwashed. And they were forced to lay in the same bed.
I think they live in that building, and there seem to be a lot of other residential areas.
Honest to God, you could tell me anything, and I would believe it. Because I cannot back off of this enough. Hitler is in the movie.
So they're in this building. The producer who puts them together is an alien, because his eyes glow like this, right? I mean, I would imagine.
No, I think that's because he's wearing mirrored sunglasses.
Oh.
He's always wearing mirrored sunglasses.
I didn't
until
realize
he
that.
Takes
I mean, that
them
reflection's
off.
Intense.
Yes. Until he takes them off and his eyes are not. I don't. Wait, you thought he was an alien? By the way, I'd believe it. Why not?
I thought
because
there was
the
something.
David Bowie
he basically said, he goes, hey, if you two pair up, I'll make you a number one hit in a week, and it works. So I thought he was
he's
a mystic.
He's their dad.
I know that.
Oh, okay.
But in the beginning, I'm like, why is his eyes glowing? I don't know. He's in a dark room.
I think that's just because of the mirrored glasses.
Okay, got it.
I understand
right.
what you're saying. But I was...
this is insane.
The fact that this guy has mirrored glasses the whole time is revealed to be their father, who then sings maybe the best song in the whole movie.
It was beautiful. I loved it.
About how he brought them together, which made more sense as to
By the way,
he
sings it while shot.
Yes.
Like he is
This is him going
out.
To heaven. This
bleeding
is a
out.
Death this is a death dirge.
Yeah, here we go. It says, listen to me.
Tried to tell you.
I tried to, but you can understand that.
This is a fuck
it's
song.
It's a story from the past. I abandoned my love. He's bleeding out again. This is my atonement.
And he takes a bullet for one of his sons. That's why he's bleeding out.
Forgive me. It does feel like there's more going on here than these lyrics are telling us. My heart stayed gray.
You know what? That's that old saying. He's got a gray heart.
Not since the day I left. Not even a day. Has it been clear?
One of the best songs in this whole movie. This is incredible.
The greatest pop idol in the world.
He does find a way to make it all about himself. Which is not... He's a bad dad.
That's all he wanted to be is a great pop idol. But... to stay away from scandals.
Look at how slow. He's walking so slow.
With my superficial
he's dying.
Lover,
the
I
man
did.
Is dying.
Making love.
With my superficial lover.
Just once. As I'm reading the lyrics slowly, I don't even really understand the story.
One mistake.
Just one mistake. Laugh if you like.
Wish in.
That's when he's feeling the blood. He's bleeding out. Oh. That bullet's coming out. My sons.
Oh. This is so good. He's great.
So are we to understand that...
Look at this shot.
And by the way, when you see all these people after a giant fist fight, it all makes sense.
Adrian
Brody.
Will you go up right to your... Up a pig head guy right there behind Adrian Brody?
Oh,
look at pig head guy right there. Look at how chilling that is. And then Joker, upper left-hand corner, Joker. Right hand corner.
Right there. We have a lot of Blues Brothers here. Blues Brothers.
Well, I think they're all, because they're from like a ska, like they're from like a Madness, The Specials type song.
We got, we got this guy, Maitre D. But here's my question. So he wanted to be a pop star, the dad. He wanted to avoid scandals. He had a superficial love. So he had like a one night stand that created these two twins. They were then, he didn't ignore them. And then those twins are separated again. What happened there? Where's the mom? I want to hear what happened to her.
So I actually don't know that they're twins. I think they're just brothers.
So he had two children by the same woman?
No, I don't think that they're this. They're actually, I think they're sort of half brothers.
Okay, so he's sleeping with a lot of different women. He said he only made one mistake.
He said he made one mistake.
One mistake would mean... One time.
Well, it could be one time with another woman, which produced a child.
Okay. Wait.
So he started off with a woman and they had a child.
Got it.
And then he made one mistake.
Got it. And then?
His words, not mine. And then there's another child. And so those two are half brothers.
Got you. And their mom never said, your dad is that famous record producer.
No, I can't answer.
Well, we get no insights other than inside of this song of their mother.
And by the way, Paul, this song ended, and I go, oh, so he's their dad, okay? And Paul goes, what?
Because there was a part of me as like,
goes, I
got to
rewatch
lying.
That part. I did.
Well, this happens.
I'm trying to break it down here. I'm not convinced. Because again, if he was married to this woman, then one of them would know that that's his dad. But he's like, I made one mistake. So,
or
I'm confused. Or
they're brothers, and he had two children with one woman.
Or they are twins who were separated at birth.
Yes.
That's what I think. You guys agree with that?
It has to be twins who were separated.
First of all, they look nothing alike. So,
well, I guess they're fraternal.
But. Okay, sure, but do we all just want them to be twins because that was the story?
Well, they say they're twins.
They, in their song, say in the opening,
we gotta
say,
believe at least one person in this movie. Like,
well,
there has to be one reliable narrator.
I just think then it gets really confusing. Like,
I think that's this movie's
But what was his mistake, though? Like, he's atoning for something that, I mean, they would never have been together if they were separated at birth. So his song doesn't really make sense.
Well, that's the problem.
I agree. Here's what I'm going to say. I think if we try to make a real, like, prediction about what are the familial relationships or what we're gonna ignore... What's great about this movie, because I don't think the movie cares to inform us what its
this
actual
story is.
This isn't
like Sleepaway Camp where you need to know the relationships to make it
sense. Sleepaway Camp, the movie. I was like, wait, like going to Sleepaway Camp?
No, but I think you're right. I think all they want to do is give you emotion. The movie is like about emotion. It's like, I am your father. That is Hitler. You are on drugs. That's a zombie.
Hitler arrives before the father song, which is crazy. Yes. Like, you would think Hitler would be like, can you believe we got Hitler?
And by the way, we haven't even talked about the villain. There is a villain here. This man makes them a giant star. They become as big as their
toys.
He's
kind of the villain for much of the movie. It feels like he's working with the government.
Yes. And what's interesting about, I feel like the montage of them becoming successful is actually the dad's song. I don't think it's their song. I don't think it's song.
So like the dad wrote that song for them?
No, I think it's the dad singing that song.
Well, all right, this might be... All right, let's take a look. This is the number one song. Again, we're figuring it out.
Do you remember... Can I pause you for a second? Do you remember when they make... What I loved about... Just because it's right before this. When they make the deal with the man who would later be revealed to be their dad... And Shingo goes, hey, I've got a cassette of my song, and it's great. Yeah, there's lyrics on one side and the instrumental on the other, or whatever he says on the B side. He puts it down on the thing, and the dad goes, boop, and a laser hits and fries the cassette. I was like,
And that's why I thought he had laser eyes. If he is blowing up tapes on his desk, I believe, like, all of our theories can be proven to be true. And that's what I love about this movie.
This is some fucking next level stuff.
Don't they also say some line in there where it's like, your father's blood, and then they sing your father's blood, like a backup line. Like,
I don't remember that.
Oh, they that's like early on in there too. I was writing down so furiously, but I couldn't even.
I had to stop so much because there was so much to. This might be the most notes I've ever taken.
Well, then they also are learning how to become a star. And part of the thing about them becoming a star is like being trained as circus animals. Do you remember that? Like, it's like pose for a picture, make a video, become an animal in a circus. It's like,
wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that where the pig face person comes in?
I will try to find that one here. Hold on. I have to.
Wait, will you do number one song again? Just because I am curious if it's the father's song.
Okay,
it's
sure. Like, is number one song is this. Posing in front of a mirror. Posing in front of a mirror, pumping up my biceps. Looking good, satisfied, but so what?
I would need you to rewind, though, into like how this song is set up.
I don't know if I have that ability.
Yeah.
But my song's playing on the radio.
Okay.
It kills somebody. Somehow this garbage song became popular.
Hold on.
So this is the height of their success.
But this isn't their... Okay, so this is my question, though. This isn't their song.
This isn't
the number one song.
Right. This is a song. This is like Tenacious D's song, the tribute song about the greatest song in the world.
That's the thing is, all
what is the number one song?
We're never going to hear it.
All the songs are exposition-based songs. I think that song is number one song about having a number one song called number one song.
Yes. I think you're right.
The trials and tribulations of stardom.
Yes.
Maybe not. I don't know, and I don't think the
movie knows. But they're they never really sing this, though.
See, like it says, like posing in front of a camera, miming like I'm singing again, disdain, right?
Or I guess he does sing right there.
You could be
looking good. This is my job. Good work. Who cares? Well, they do. This is all they wanted, right? This is a week later. All right, now they're everywhere. My face is on TV. They're on talk shows,
but not singing.
This guy is, they're on all the big shows. This is what you're going to see. I think you're going to see
this. I look cute with my canines?
Before we knew it, we're the number one song.
Number one, baby.
Once you reach number one, though, what's the story? Stay up, keep going.
These are the outfits they're wearing at the beginning and end, which is confusing me.
Once you reach, though, this is stay up, keep going.
People are freaking out.
But they're not singing that song to them. So
this is as good as Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
If not better.
If not better.
I do want to, so they're climbing up the charts, but they sing about how bad it is, and they're like, oh, but they stumble. They stumble while they're trying to stay on the top of the charts.
There's so much Three Stooges-style physical comedy in this movie that it's incredible.
I would argue there's everything in this movie.
Yes,
this is the omakase of movies.
Sing the same song again and again forever, but what song?
We don't know. We'll never know that song.
Maybe this song.
I would be remiss if we didn't talk about when one of the characters has a downfall and then goes into a zombie nightmare and then is cooked and eaten. And
first goes to kiss someone whose entire face falls off.
That was very upsetting.
That was intense.
I mean, I have to say, like, this is the weird thing about the movie. Like, that, I have no idea why that...
This is the weird thing.
And only this, period. But that sequence, I don't know why it happened. I don't know what was happening to him. I think he was getting addicted to drugs,
right?
Okay, he's getting addicted to drugs.
You see him smoke a joint or something prior.
From the American
sequence,
woman. That woman did not know how to speak Japanese.
At all.
And she looks frightened, like as if someone's going to say, now you speak. Yeah. But I'm also like,
keep in mind, she's also some sort of hideous monster.
Yes.
She's just hiding.
But like, that sequence is effective. Like, there were many times where I was like, oh gosh, this is pretty scary. You felt that way too, Paul.
I did.
And
that was incredibly scary. That sequence,
really,
I couldn't watch
it.
When he was put on a plate and ketchup was poured on him,
oh my God.
And he was lifted up into the mouth
With the fork?
Yeah, with the fork, very upsetting.
And then inside Khan's mouth, there was like an alien, like a tentacled beast, like a Cloverfield monster.
Inside of the throat, you know, yeah. there's a whole journey. It's like inner space.
Here's my other question. And again, this is my only question.
And then we're done.
And then the show's over. We can wrap it up. How did Turtle go from...
Sorry.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
we'll get in. I want you to continue. I'm sorry.
How did Turtle go from not being able to sing...
Great question.
...to singing so beautifully?
Yes. When we first meet Turtle... She's trying to break into the record company, and she is being beaten by baseball bats.
Because she just wants to be a professional singer.
And they're like, sing for us. She sings so badly that their shoes come off, and they can't. They're writhing on the ground in pain from her voice.
What I appreciate about Turtle is that she brings her own microphone.
She does.
I don't know what it's plugged into. I don't know.
It's red. It comes out of her backpack.
Yeah.
And when she sings her song at this point, later in the movie rather, when they're trying to kill time because Shingo is on drugs and not there, she sings not just perfectly, but still with her red microphone.
Yeah.
She still has her red microphone. So
perseverance.
Heads or tails out of.
Maybe
she's been taking lessons.
I mean, I don't know if it's just like being around these two incredible singers.
Or maybe she could always sing and just was having a bad day the first time we saw her try.
No,
I mean, listen, she was on the ground having been beaten. Like, even if I had a decent voice, I don't think you'd get my best work right after that. So,
but you never know when opportunity will strike, so you always have to be ready.
Hey, listen, you never have to get ready if you stay ready.
Let us watch a little bit of this Thriller montage. So I have to imagine this is inspired by Thriller. We have a guy whose head who opens, faces are falling off, and zombies are coming out. This is the kind of lyrics I was talking about. A helicopter is flying, or maybe it's a bee. Okay. Well, I couldn't care less. All right, then why are you telling me anything? Elevator is dead, or maybe just a snake.
This is
no idea.
This is a better drug song than anything I've ever heard.
He is late for his performance. He's being chased by zombies. I believe these zombies are real. Or no, I guess he can't because he got eaten. So.
Ooh, I don't like that little child one.
Yeah.
And he runs out, and there's his dad.
That's his dad.
That's his dad.
That's his dad.
We don't know it yet, but that's his dad. He's having a sexy.
Fantasy. His dad is clearly naked, saying, come hither. Yeah. He runs out of that room, back to the zombies. Then this is the worst part because it gets even more oh, this is pretty upsetting. Can it heighten? Yeah.
Okay.
It can.
Don't worry. We've got stop motion animation characters.
He somehow is fed into a beast that rips off its own flesh, becomes a skeleton.
I can't stop it, or is this a dream?
Well, and
piano breakdown.
An alligator is dancing. Maybe it's a tiger. At least that one makes the most sense.
Maybe it's the Twilight Zone. That's
and
what
now
I feel like
he gets a giant shot.
Huh?
A giant shot that's going to turn him into an egg. Right? And or they're sucking him into.
By the way, can you pause for a second? How good is this? I'm serious.
It's
honest to God, a show, just clap if you didn't watch the movie. Okay, now aren't you like, I fucked up? Because you're watching this and you're like, what the what?
I couldn't see this.
It's on Mubi? It is on Mubi.
This is a movie. It's also on Amazon Prime. You can get it right there. This movie, he gets injected with a 6-foot syringe, turns into a bird, and then it's flying around, and then a hunter shoots him, and what comes down is a golden egg. The golden egg this is still the drug sequence. It's picked up by, a samurai, then a samurai brings the egg.
A future tech samurai.
Yes.
Who brings it to a machine room where...
It's cracked open.
Oh, wow. I missed that. Okay.
And then he is inside the egg, and he's about ready
Now he's on a plate. He's about to get chomped by his twin brother.
But he's got to put ketchup on him first.
Ketchup.
And it looks so...
This was so upsetting.
I didn't like this at all.
Now watch this. All right, so he's now on a fork screaming.
This is the movie, you idiots who didn't see it.
This
is what we all watched, you fucking dummies.
The mouth gets open wide. You think, are they going to cut out of this sequence? They're definitely going to cut out of this sequence.
Chomp.
Oh, now we're in the mouth. We are in a mouth. And the mouth, and it's disgusting. And it's like really like, oh, it's too gross.
This is where I came.
And you're like, what is going on?
Get ready.
Something is coming out of the mouth.
Oh!
And there it is. A hand tentacle Cloverfield monster that then sucks
animation.
Him up.
Animation!
And now he is fully animated.
Can you believe it, you idiots? You paid to come see the show, but you didn't watch this.
And now, how does he get out of the animation? He's now ripped apart, or he's electrocuted in the belly. I don't know.
Oh, here he is, though.
Back in the real world, and there's
with
a party.
Confetti.
The zombies now are
the
watching
zombies
him.
Are and now his audience and the band.
So Paul, are we just going to spend the whole show watching
yes!
a movie?
Can we?
I don't think we've ever played.
Can we? Mom, can we?
I don't think we honestly have ever played this much
I know. Well,
of
that
a movie.
Was like, but that sequence needed to
and
be.
And I'm going
to
say,
yes.
not enough.
We didn't talk about them stripping on stage. And,
we didn't talk about the villain that's introduced for the last 15 minutes of the movie. I couldn't get a handle on why, where that person came from, and why.
Oh, well, this is all right. So I have
know
a theory.
A little bit. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well,
you go.
I think I understood that the government,
okay,
the
yeah.
government
oh, I don't
wanted
understand
to
that.
Launch
that was
a
it. So you can, you
peace
can,
and love campaign.
Oh.
Well, that's true, too. That's also true.
Okay.
Okay.
Both of these things are
all
true.
All I thought was there was an element of the movie where it's like, you will be a star for a week, and then next week there'll be a new star. So it's like they're a part of a disposable system.
Oh,
so
that's
interesting. The new person is just like,
no,
that's the way it works. Okay, no.
I don't think that's exactly right, but maybe I'm wrong. My understanding was at a certain point, this David Bowie character, this David Bowie-styled character is introduced when the government men come and visit the mirror shades guy.
Daddy.
And yes, their dad. and one of the guys listens at the door and he hears them explain, you're the current duo you have. This is during Shingo's drug trip.
Right.
Right? The guys you have, they're too full of scandals. They're bad. You need to get rid of them because they're bad for the youth of the country. We want you to push this new singer who is the son of one of our cabinet members. What do they say?
Hitler. I mean, that
well,
will end up
Hitler.
Being Hitler.
No, that's
Hitler,
the
guys.
Reveal. Don't
but
blow
they
the reveal.
Say, they don't say it's Hitler. We've got Hitler's son. And we need you to make him a pop star. No, they say, here's, and they give him the mirror shade guy,
whatever it
the information about this guy, and this guy then becomes the new pop idol, and while our guys implode, basically, right?
Right.
And he then chases them in his Rolls Royce while they're in the convertible.
They also take out a knife while they're chasing each other in a Rolls Royce. Like... don't bring a knife to a car fight. Why are you like just trying to stab at a moving vehicle?
It's next level. To try and make sense out of it, I don't want it. It almost is too difficult.
It is. I mean, it's interesting. I actually was like, oh wow, this is interesting that the government here is involved with like pop music and that they seem to be launching a like public campaign to promote peace and love?
Something like that.
Because I didn't get the sense it was that they were upset that the Stardust Brothers were so scandal-ridden. I thought it was because they thought they were too rowdy and too kind of... that their music was too violent or something.
It would be helpful if we heard any of their music.
Sure.
We only hear them singing about the music that they've made. We heard London Boots. We know what London Boots is.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. And June, this question is for you. When they go to, is it Atomic Records?
Yes.
When they go to Atomic Records.
I think it's Atomic Productions.
One of our guys, I think it's Shingo,
you.
Stops to style his hair in the mirror. And then we reveal it's a
this
two-sided
does, this
mirror.
This does feel like a question for me.
It's a two-sided mirror, and what's watching him is a robot.
I don't remember. Okay, I don't remember this.
And the robot then comes out and starts to follow him. Did you feel like you understood what that robot's mission was?
I'm actually
because the robot goes away.
I don't remember this.
Then I also thought, and I think this is right, that the David Bowie character is a robot? Because when he drinks alcohol, he like freaks out like a robot and there's electricity sounds.
No, he's not a robot.
He's not a robot.
He is a robot.
No, wait. He's going through withdrawal.
No, wait, hold on.
Wait, do we have it? Do we have anything with heat where he
April
drinks
does title this clip Villain Robot.
He's a robot?
He's just drunk alcohol. This guy, unfazed.
Because he's a robot. He doesn't care. And then back to business. Okay. Stop drinking. And then he piss off.
Come on. This is next level. This should be the last movie covered by the podcast. This
is the end of the podcast.
It all begins and ends here. This is it.
I didn't think he was a robot, but now I'm watching it with robot eyes for the first time.
Well, I think that Hitler doesn't
maybe
have...
Maybe he was.
Like, well, maybe Hitler has created a Well, yeah, he definitely has created a robot. I mean, does he say...
Out of
curiosity, sounds like something he'd do.
We see a robot earlier in the movie, so we know there are robots.
Right.
Right? Like a mechanical robot earlier in the movie.
I missed that, but yes. I don't remember
Paul, do you
that.
Have the movie? Oh, we need to talk about when they are dressed in wedding attire and they become a wedding ball boner. No, a wedding ball boulder.
And they, when it's like Katamari.
It's
like real life Katamari.
They enter and it rolls them. And they turn that guy into a flat Stanley. Come on! What are we talking about?
So great.
And yet that is in real life.
That's
and there is a dream sequence where someone gets eaten.
That's hard.
If you told me that you were like, oh shit, I just found out Michel Gondry made this movie, I would be like, okay, that clocks. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
But did it make you cry, June?
No. No. I mean, I don't know where. I'm trying actually to remember the ending. I think that.
They die.
You mean when they're shot and killed on stage?
When the bookend scenes come back.
Yes, here.
I remember that. Are we going to have to watch more?
No, we don't have to watch.
I mean, what are we doing here? Just play the movie.
All right, so one of them... So one of them is shot dead, but we don't know who or why. Because at this point, that was many years ago with Hitler.
And his son.
And his son.
Who is... The one who shoots their father.
Yeah.
Hitler's son shoots their father, right?
So then, yes.
Hitler's son tries to shoot them.
And
the father
takes
steps
the
in
bullet.
The bullet's way.
So now he's dead. He's like, wake up, come on. And then he...
What was insane to me is that...
He also gets shot.
Ken gets shot. And Shingo freaks out. And he's like, Ken? He just visibly got shot. We heard it.
My theory with Shingo is Shingo a robot too? Because when he gets shot, the amount of sparks coming out of him.
Okay, I had that question too.
Yeah.
Are they all robots?
Because
is this
he
a
has
movie
too
about
much.
All robots?
He has too many sparks. Your body doesn't have this many fireworks when you get shot. Like it's on for a very long time. But then,
what's she doing there?
She shouldn't be there. She shouldn't be there.
When did she die? Did we see this?
She's not even owed a death.
Does she die off camera? This is like the end. Inexplicably, this is the end of Grease. This is like.
So I'm still glad.
Now it's dry, and then but keep playing.
Because I'm glad you brought that up. Because the other Grease reference. I thought that the father's death sequence was very Beauty School Dropout. Walking up the steps. There were a couple, and then obviously this.
Clearly, this movie was taken from a lot of...
There's a lot of homages here.
Like, so they go off to heaven, and then this is what's really weird. He's now dead as well, but he's not on the car.
And he's no longer wearing what he was killed in. He's back to a tuxedo.
He's like, look at me, everyone. Look at me. And then he just walks.
He just walks through space.
He walks into space.
Alone. He's alone. Why did
he become the star?
Because they fall in love?
Well, I think the I thought the brothers were asking themselves and each other the entire time, are we stars or are we stardust or are we star scum?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I feel like that ending was like, this guy is an actual star.
And they're scum in the car?
I think so.
Oh, wait, this guy's a star, or
that guy's a star because he becomes
the
star.
Other star ones. The dad.
But no, I think this.
Because the dad turned into a star too, didn't he?
I don't know. But I think he became a star, but I think that this is scum. The car is scum. The car flies behind.
Scum, another word for cum. A scumbag is a condom.
When I found that out when I was a kid, it blew my mind.
True story.
All right, so the dad, yeah, we don't have the full number.
But the dad walks into a star.
Yeah.
Right?
But like, I think that's more of a stage star.
Yeah.
I think he's walking into an actual solar system.
This is a movie that I don't know how you guys felt, but like I genuinely felt as though, and I wrote this down when the chair turns and it's Hitler. And I know I'm talking about Hitler a lot, but I wrote down, in all bold and underlined, 1 hour and 25 minutes in, and I'm still able to be shocked by this movie. That's a
wow! What a review!
Run.
Yeah, what a review.
I got up. I was like, "Can you do this? Is this allowed?"
Because we don't even really understand what the plan, like, I mean, like what,
okay, just play this, because these fucking morons who didn't see it, you need to understand what we all had to watch.
So all of a sudden you see some Nazi flags, like, oh, interesting. Hitler turns around.
It looks like,
and then before Hitler can do any speech, the time machine or teleporter works, and then they all get under the desk and Hitler is motionless.
And then straight into a song. Where
Hitler
are we?
Never speaks.
If I could be a messiah. What? Like, again, songs just happen willy-nilly. Constantly. Hitler is chilling. Hitler's just chilling.
All right, so this is...
Daddy!
So here we go. The David Bowie character comes up. Okay. Kuru.
Who do I shoot?
And then that's it. I don't think that there's any more...
Then it's a clown car of people coming out of Hitler's desk.
Because the teleporter brought them under his desk?
Yeah. Who knows why? More people... More, and everybody's now in costumes. This is where Pig Face is. This is like the video for Fight for Your Right to Party happens.
Crazy game.
I mean, here's my question. They teleported with a small group of people, but the people that teleport in... It's a lot more people.
Well, remember the fans were around the car when
that seemed like about 20 people. I didn't see any pig face people there. I mean, clearly we have questions. I mean, we have a lot of questions. I want to open it up to the audience. I want to see what's your name?
My name's Tim.
Where have you been, buddy?
Pandemic.
Tim has a large amount of text on this phone, and I'm sure you're going to read from it, and I appreciate it. Because I feel like you have a theory for us. Here we go.
It's about whether or not it's a time machine. So my theory is that, you guys have said it a little bit, but the government wants to control the population through the popularity of music. So they're trying to get all the young kids to behave and the whole society to like further their agenda, and it works. So at the end of the movie, or beginning of the movie, when they're in the 40s, they aren't actually in the 40s, it's just all the people have been brainwashed to comply and like what the government tries to force them to like, which is why they have to kill the Stardust Brothers at the end, because they're like, wake up! Don't you remember? Don't you remember our voices?
Oh. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Black it out.
I mean,
that's our show, everybody. Tim will be back next week.
Wow.
Tim, we missed you, buddy. Shows haven't been the same without you.
It was worth coming into the audience
for
that. I honestly, Paul, I'm going to need like 10 minutes to process that.
You can need to stay with Tim.
Yeah,
Tim's
cracked are walking.
No, Tim.
How did Tim come to that?
Down.
Wow.
You did it, Tim. All right. So now people are raising their hands.
I know, but Paul, you guys are raising your hands.
Sorry. You guys are raising your hands in a post-Tim world. I just want you to really think about it.
There's nothing more to say.
These are people who are like, fuck Tim. You fuck Tim. Watch this. Hey, Tim, watch me. Hold my beer, Tim.
All right. Your name.
My name is Victor Rodriguez. And
okay, first and
full
last.
Name. Full name.
First time we've
full
had
name.
VR, we're going to need that social security number.
Mr. Rodriguez, your question.
It's kind of a question.
Statement. You can have a statement.
It's kind of a question?
The very last
sounds
credit
like an explanation.
Of this movie is in English and in old English font, and this movie is dedicated to Winslow Leach. And Winslow Leach is the main character of the movie Phantom of the Paradise, which the creators of this movie said greatly influenced their creation of this movie, The Stardust Brothers.
Okay.
Wow.
I agree.
By the way, you don't have to have a question. Tim didn't have a question. Tim
but kind of interesting. So have you seen that movie?
Yes, and that movie is about the corrupting influence that
of stardom.
An evil music producer corrupts Winslow Leach, turns him into the Phantom, who takes revenge against that evil music.
Should we do that movie? Or is it...
We have to. Now we have to. We gotta make more sense. All right.
Interesting.
Who feels
that? Like, by the way, Victor Rodriguez, great. Give it up for Victor. That's like... Wait,
great.
Have other people seen that movie? Raise your hands.
Shut up. Wow.
Somebody just said...
I said, have you seen the movie? I don't care if you've got the shirt.
I got the shirt.
Have you seen the movie? I've got the shirt. You're special. Get out of here.
By the way...
Get him out of here.
I will say no one has... If you have information like Mr. Rodriguez over here, you can give...
Oh, he's a Mr. Rodriguez?
He gave me
Paul,
his
is he your math teacher?
He gave me his full name. I want to respect him.
Mr. Rodriguez said we have to watch this other movie. Paul, right.
I love that Mr. Rodriguez introduced himself with his full name.
Yeah.
That was, I've never seen anyone do that before.
It was
powerful.
All right, so we had opinions, you had opinions. Tim had the best opinion. But now it is time for second opinions.
The movie was on Amazon Prime. Oh, now you can read the reviews on Line, the second opinion of every civilian. The internet should slip into oblivion. Wow, 5 stars. Hey, this movie was perfect. Well, that was the best 2 hours of my life. Your opinion shows pretension and delusion. They're generally set apart from consensus or the Metacritic score. Second opinions are usually always wrong. So if you're Jason, what's up, jerks? Or Paul, and you know what that means, June Diane, I found this deeply disturbing. Team Fred, Sanity, Balcony Monsters, Zook, or Geo, Storm. Second opinions are rarely ever right. Stardust Brothers was a shit show, made me racist, a zombie Hitler robot rapist, Japanese propaganda plot, the deadbeat dead dads popped, our plan went wrong. Second opinion, Stardust Brothers, it is over, hallelujah, 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 yeah!
Amazing! Give it up for Jen! Thank you, Jen.
Great work.
Holy moly.
Wowee.
Unbelievable. Unfazed. So great. Give it up for Jen. One of the best.
Killing it, Jen. Killing it.
So that was amazing. This has been such a fun show. Unfortunately, there are not many reviews for this movie.
What?
Because...
Paul, I can't believe we're at review time.
I didn't get to.
We'll get to more stuff. I want to tell you some stuff. Like, there's only 9 reviews for this film on Amazon. This movie is relatively unknown.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
When did this come out?
85.
No, did it really come out in 85?
Well,
or was
this is what
like
I was gonna,
lost
I'm gonna, I'm
movie.
Gonna, let me, I'll give you a little bit of the backstory.
I know it is meant to come out in 85, but what I'm wondering is this a Miami Connection scenario, a movie that was lost for years and only was reintroduced recently because of a DVD release or something.
Okay. No, I'll give you a little bit of background. Let me read these and then I'll give you the background here, okay? Because this is 9 reviews on Amazon. 85% of them are 5 stars. 15% are 3 stars. Thank you for doing that math, Nate Kiley, our amazing Amazon researcher, who gets in and does all this research for us. And he has as much information as we know about this movie. And I was like, there has to be more. And Nate did everything. There's not much more. All right. So, again, these are mediocre reviews, but I can't not read
them. How is there not, like, a PhD thesis written about this movie?
Tim.
Yeah.
Victor.
Victor Rodriguez.
The title of this is simply Middlesex, New Jersey. So I think that someone mis-entered where they were from at this. So it just says, this was from 1985. It seems that the early 80s took a little time to get to Japan, but there are some genuine new wave pop songs here. I don't speak Japanese, but I love the music. That made it worth listening to. A real trip back in time. 5 stars. This next review from Amazon.
And there totally was nothing, in order. Nothing has been cut
nothing
from the show.
Has, yes. This is actually not from Amazon. It is actually from IMDb. It's a 10-star review. And it's all summed up here from Sydney Schuster. It's wacky and fun. I adore this singular piece created by a young film student with clearly tons of passion. I can't stress how creative this thing is. If you get the chance, absolutely check it out. 10 stars. I mean, they're not funny. They're just true. I mean,
yeah.
All right. So what I know about this is that it was a concept album that then the movie was reverse engineered for. So they had the album, then they made the movie.
So they made songs, they wrote songs.
Yes.
And then reverse engineered a plot to fit those songs?
But where does that person that Victor Rodriguez brought up play in?
Well, okay, so it says like this, that basically they were inspired by Phantom of Paradise and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And they adapted their album to film based on the already written songs, as well as writing 3 new tracks based upon characters that the author wrote. Now, the film was released, and it was so poorly received that it seemed like they just forgot about it. And they lost the original 16mm negative, and they thought the director would never make a movie again. It traumatized the director and the crew to the point that they didn't ever mention it. They erased it from existence.
The movie itself, like the idea of the movie itself.
No one referenced it was even made. And then someone found it, Third Window Films. They entered it into 30 worldwide film festivals.
Is this
And that's
still
what
in the
revitalized
80s
it. Yeah, I think what I'm seeing here is I don't see a re-release date on it. So it came out in 85. And I guess when the 30 film festivals, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, yeah. But it's interesting. The director is the son of the creator of Astro Boy, the guy who is considered the father of manga, the Japanese equivalent of Walt Disney. And that is Osamu am I pronouncing this right? Tezaku?
Tim? Trevor.
So this is the son of the
Lauren,
the son of Walt Disney,
Amanda?
Of Japanese Walt Disney,
Jen, John. No, okay.
So there we go. There you go. I mean, that's all the information I have, and it's kind of scattershot. But basically, the son of a very famous, the creator of manga decided to make an album. And then they're like, let's make it into a movie. And then they animated it. And it was such a failure that they pretended it never happened. And then someone found it and got it back to popularity. But even at that popularity, this is not known.
Should be a cult. This is a midnight movie, like fastball straight down
yes.
the middle. This is better than Rocky Horror.
Now,
to
I
me.
Do have one thing to add to it, though.
No?
In 20...
I wouldn't say that.
Right, so fuck.
In 2016, there is the brand new adventures of the Stardust Brothers.
Thank God.
Here we go. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
There's more. The legend continues. It looks like they get into some country music in there.
Here's what I'll say. Like, and I don't know what you guys are up to, but like, I will stay here now and watch that movie live.
I mean, we need to see it. I will say this. This film reminded me of The Sparks, movie Annette. Yep. And like, it has a lot of similarities to that. Do you remember watching that at all with me?
No.
Okay.
It was the movie where Andrew Driver gives us the most... Adam Driver,
oh,
rather.
Oh, of course.
Gives us the most compelling performance of a stand-up comedian that's ever been performed.
So, I'm sorry. I'm still taking in, like, what went on behind you. Of course.
Yeah, it just feels like there is something... this feels
Sparks
like...
Sparks is a good comparison.
Right?
Yeah.
The lyrics are about the right way. It feels very interesting. Would you recommend it? Jason... We know.
Forever.
I think we know.
Like, this is, I'm not, and I know, whatever. I'm like, for me, in the 11 years of doing this podcast, top five movie. Top five.
Wow. Top five.
Top five. And I'm not counting the movies that to me are like unimpeachably great,
right,
like Con Air or Face Off,
right,
or whatever.
This is like
yeah, of course.
This is a top five discovery movie, I'll say. Like Voyage of the Rock Aliens,
say, like, yes,
or Miami Connection. Mm-hmm. Movies that I had no idea about. What? Do not yell at me.
He was completing your thought about what you personally feel.
Oh, what did he say?
No. That goes all over here.
This movie is just phenomenal. This was a delightful watch.
I love when we find something completely unique. I think where I agree with June is, if it was maybe a little shorter.
I thought it was too long.
Agree.
I thought it was too long.
Because
and now
it's
also,
all
Jason, though, I wish I was stoned. You know, I was not.
At 6:30 a.m.?
Starting the day off right.
While you sober. Were.
And I didn't start it stoned.
Yeah.
I realized immediately, though, I was like, this is not for
I'm
sober.
Glad I didn't watch it at night, because I feel like if I watch it at night and I was getting a little sleepy, I think I would have missed some of the nuance.
I would say if you watch this movie not stoned, do yourself a favor. Get stoned. And this is the kind of, because again, it is 30 seconds to a minute of dialogue and then a full song music video. Get stoned and watch it.
Yes, and it's just disappointing because I was just getting caffeinated, you know, getting more into the details of it, and I would have loved to have been a little further away. So I just watched it in the wrong state of mind, you know, and at the wrong hour.
I think that, you
but
know...
I do think this would be really fun to watch, you know, on a Friday night with a gummy.
Okay. And, you know, for me, I think my review is encapsulated by what you saw here on stage. My fly was undone. That's how I feel. Right there.
And nobody tried to help him out there. Tim, you didn't say a word about that.
Well, nobody in the audience.
And that's my only note for you, Tim.
Everybody in the audience just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, my shirt was covering it a little bit. Anyway, a big thank you to all of you for coming out here tonight.
Yes, and truly, like, I really do so appreciate everybody keeping their masks on and coming to the show with their masks. It's amazing.
A big thank you, Alec, up in the booth. A big thank you to Devin up there recording the episode. Always with us.
Devin.
Devin, not a Trevin. And
so
not
close
a,
to Trevin.
Oh, Trevin.
But Devin, can you tape this for us really quick? Because what we're going to do right now is we're just going to quickly announce where we're going on tour.
So on August 3rd, but this is for our virtual show. So this is actually in all cities everywhere.
We're doing a virtual show all around the world for $15. You can watch it up to 7 days after the show is over.
The movie is 2011's Love on a Leash.
People have compared it to a talking cat. They've compared it to Governor Gabby. It is completely free on YouTube. Love.
Wait, did we want to tell people that if they want, they can record this right now?
Yes,
as
I did
video.
Tell them.
We
yeah.
did. You yes, yes,
this.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, so then in New Orleans on August 12th, the movie will be Hard Target.
JCVD.
Get yourself to New Orleans.
Get there and tell your friends to come to New Orleans.
And then in Dallas on August 13th, the movie is 1997's A Werewolf in Paris.
Which oddly takes place where, June?
In New Orleans.
No, in Dallas.
Oh, sorry, Dallas.
In New Orleans. They're all
I thought I really set you
they're
up.
They're all set in New Orleans.
Sorry, I thought all of the movies we are going to do on this tour were set in New Orleans. Isn't it called the New Orleans Tour?
No,
it's called the Big Easy Tour.
We're just going around from venue to venue in New Orleans. Disappointing people. Preservation Hall presents, How Did This Get Made? And then when we go to Houston, we are doing a spiritual sequel to The Grand Piano. Same director, same writer, same lead actor, but this movie's called Open Windows.
It's very exciting.
You know how to lock those windows? With a locksmith.
Then we are going to Indianapolis, and we are doing a film called Designed to Kill, a.k.a. Deadly Runway, a.k.a. Fatal Fashion. You'll find one of them. It was released in 2018, but that is what we're doing in Indianapolis. And then in Detroit, we've picked probably a movie that is most synonymous with Detroit. When you think of Detroit, you think of Axel Foley, you think of RoboCop, and you think of The Oogle Loves in The Big Balloon Adventure.
From 2012.
Yes. And then where are we going, Jason?
Then we're going to Northfield, Ohio. Clapping? For Northfield, Ohio?
People want to get us out of Northfield. They're like, come to Cleveland. It's only 30 minutes away.
And you know what? We're like, fuck Cleveland. We're going to Northfield for those single claps. Where we will be watching Ghost in the Machine. And then on to the Chicago Theater, where we will be watching from 2022, Morbius!
It's Morbin time.
Guys, we're getting morbed.
But tell your friends. And
Kevin Morby will be there.
Check out httgm.com for tickets and information. But our virtual live shows are a bunch of fun, and you can watch it with a group of friends. It's only $15. Thank you so much for coming out here tonight.
Thank you,
everyone. We appreciate you all. Have a good night. Bye-bye. We'll be back.